Chapter 93. Mr. Swiveller and his partner played several rubbers with varying success, until the loss of 3 sixpences, the gradual sinking of the pearl, and the striking of 10 o'clock, combined to render that gentleman mindful of the flight of time, and the expediency of withdrawing before Mr. Sampson and Miss Sally Brass returned. With which object in view, Marchioness, apostrophe said Mr. Swiveller gravely, I shall ask your ladyship's permission to put the board in my pocket, and to retire from the presence when I have finished this tankard, merely observing, Marchioness, that since life like a river is flowing, I care not how fast it rolls on, ma'am, on, while such pearl on the bank still is growing, and such eyes light the waves as they run. Marchioness, your health. You will excuse my wearing my hat, but the palace is damp, and the marble floor is, if I may be allowed the expression, sloppy. Apostrophe, as a precaution against this latter inconvenience, Mr. Swiveller had been sitting for some time with his feet on the hob, in which attitude he now gave utterance to these apologetic observations, and slowly sipped the last choice drops of nectar. The Baron Sampsono Brasso and his fair sister are, you tell me, at the play? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Swiveller, leaning his left arm heavily upon the table, and raising his voice and his right leg after the manner of a theatrical bandit. The Marchioness nodded. Ha! Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Swiveller, with a portentous frown. Tis well, Marchioness, but no matter. Some wine there. Ho! Apostrophe, he illustrated these melodramatic morsels by handing the tankard to himself with great humility, receiving it haughtily, drinking from it thirstily, and smacking his lips fiercely. The small servant, who was not so well acquainted with theatrical conventionalities as Mr. Swiveller, having indeed never seen a play, or heard one spoken of, except by chance through chinks of doors and in other forbidden places, was rather alarmed by demonstrations, so novel in their nature, and showed her concern so plainly in her looks, that Mr. Swiveller felt it necessary to discharge his brigand manner for one more suitable to private life, as he asked, do they often go where glory waits them, and leave you here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, yes. I believe you they do, apostrophe returned the small servant. Miss Sally's such a wonder for that, she is. Apostrophe, such a what? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Dick. Such a wonder, apostrophe returned the Marchioness. After a moment's reflection, Mr. Swiveller determined to forego his responsible duty of setting her right, and to suffer her to talk on, as it was evident that her tongue was loosened by the pearl, and her opportunities for conversation were not so frequent as to render a momentary check of little consequence. They sometimes go to see Mr. Quilp, apostrophe said the small servant with a shrewd look. They go to a many places, bless you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, is Mr. Brass a wonder? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Dick. Not half what Miss Sally is, he isn't, apostrophe replied the small servant, shaking her head. Bless you, he'd never do anything without her. Apostrophe, oh. He wouldn't he? Apostrophe said Dick. Miss Sally keeps him in such order, apostrophe said the small servant. He always asks her advice, he does, and he catches it sometimes. Bless you wouldn't believe how much he catches it. Apostrophe, I suppose, apostrophe said Dick, that they consult together a good deal, and talk about a great many people about me, for instance, sometimes, eh, Marchioness? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the Marchioness nodded amazingly. Complimentary? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Swiveller. The Marchioness changed the motion of her head, which had not yet left off nodding, and suddenly began to shake it from side to side, with a vehemence which threatened to dislocate her neck. Humph! Apostrophe, apostrophe, Dick muttered. Would it be any breach of confidence, Marchioness, to relate what they say of the humble individual who has now the honor to? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Miss Sally says you're a funny chap, apostrophe replied his friend. Well, Marchioness, Apostrophe, said Mr. Swiveller, that's not uncomplimentary. Merriment, Marchioness, is not a bad or a degrading quality. Old King Cole was himself a merry old soul, if we may put any faith in the pages of history. Apostrophe, but she says, apostrophe pursued his companion, that he lent to be trusted. Apostrophe, why, really, Marchioness, apostrophe, said Mr. Swiveller, thoughtfully. Several ladies and gentlemen, not exactly professional persons, but tradespeople, ma'am, tradespeople have made the same remark. The obscure citizen who keeps the hotel over the way inclined strongly to that opinion tonight when I ordered him to prepare the banquet. It's a popular prejudice, Marchioness. And yet I am sure I don't know why, for I have been trusted in my time to a considerable amount, and I can safely say that I never forsook my trust until it deserted me, never. Mr. Brass is of the same opinion, I suppose? Apostrophe, apostrophe, his friend nodded again, with a cunning look which seemed to hint that Mr. Brass held stronger opinions on the subject than his sister. And seeming to recollect herself, added imploringly, but don't you ever tell upon me, or I shall be beat to death. Apostrophe, Marchioness, apostrophe, said Mr. Swiveller, rising, the word of a gentleman is as good as his bond, sometimes better, as in the present case, where his bond might prove but a doubtful sort of security. I am your friend, and I hope we shall play many more rubbers together in this same saloon. But, Marchioness, apostrophe, added Richard, stopping in his way to the door, and wheeling slowly round upon the small servant, who was following with the candle, it occurs to me that you must be in the constant habit of airing your eye at keyholes, to know all this. Apostrophe, I only wanted, apostrophe, replied the trembling Marchioness, to know where the key of the safe was hid, that was all. And I wouldn't have taken much, if I had found it only enough to squench my hunger. Apostrophe, you didn't find it then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Dick. But of course you didn't, or you'd be plumper. Good night, Marchioness. Fare thee well, and if forever, then forever fare thee well, and put up the chain, Marchioness, in case of accidents. Apostrophe, with this parting injunction, Mr. Swiveller emerged from the house, and feeling that he had by this time taken quite as much to drink as promised to be good for his constitution, Pearl being a rather strong and heady compound, wisely resolved to betake himself to his lodgings, and to bed at once. Homeward he went therefore, and his apartments, for he still retained the plural fiction, being at no great distance from the office, he was soon seated in his own bedchamber, where, having pulled off one boot, and forgotten the other, he fell into deep cogitation. This Marchioness, apostrophe, said Mr. Swiveller, folding his arms, is a very extraordinary person, surrounded by mysteries, ignorant of the taste of beer, unacquainted with her own name, which is less remarkable, and taking a limited view of society through the keyholes of doors. Can these things be her destiny, or has some unknown person started an opposition to the decrees of fate? It is a most inscrutable and unmitigated staggerer. Apostrophe, apostrophe, when his meditations had attained this satisfactory point, he became aware of his remaining boot, of which, with an impaired solemnity, he proceeded to divest himself, shaking his head with exceeding gravity all the time, and sighing deeply. These rubbers, apostrophe, said Mr. Swiveller, putting on his nightcap in exactly the same style as he wore his hat, remind me of the matrimonial fireside. Check's wife plays cribbage, all fours likewise. She rings the changes on them now. From sport to sport they hurry her to banish her regrets, and when they win a smile from her, they think that she forgets, but she don't. By this time, I should say, apostrophe, added Richard, getting his left cheek into profile, and looking complacently at the reflection of a very little scrap of whisker in the looking glass. By this time, I should say, the iron has entered into her soul. It serves her right. Apostrophe, apostrophe, melting from this stern and obdurate, into the tender and pathetic mood, Mr. Swiveller groaned a little, walked wildly up and down, and even made a show of tearing his hair, which, however, he thought better of, and wrenched the tassel from his nightcap instead. At last, undressing himself with a gloomy resolution, he got into bed. Some men in his blighted position would have taken to drinking, but as Mr. Swiveller had taken to that before, he only took, on receiving the news, that Sophie Wackles was lost to him forever, to playing the flute, thinking after mature consideration, that it was a good, sound, dismal occupation, not only in unison with his own sad thoughts, but calculated to awaken a fellow feeling in the bosoms of his neighbors. In pursuance of this resolution, he now drew a little table to his bedside, and arranging the light and a small oblong music book to the best advantage, took his flute from its box, and began to play most mournfully. The air was away with melancholy a composition, which, when it is played very slowly on the flute, in bed, with the further disadvantage of being performed by a gentleman, but imperfectly acquainted with the instrument, who repeats one note a great many times, before he can find the next, has not a lively effect. Yet, for half the night, or more, Mr. Swiveller, lying sometimes on his back with his eyes upon the ceiling, and sometimes half out of bed, to correct himself by the book, played this unhappy tune over and over again, never leaving off, save for a minute or two at a time, to take breath and soliloquize about the Marchioness, and then beginning again with renewed vigor. It was not until he had quite exhausted his several subjects of meditation, and had breathed into the flute the whole sentiment of the Pearl down to its very dregs, and had nearly maddened the people of the house, and at both the next doors, and over the way, that he shut up the music book, extinguished the candle, and finding himself greatly lightened and relieved in his mind, turned round and fell asleep. He awoke in the morning, much refreshed, and having taken half an hour's exercise at the flute, and graciously received a notice, to quit from his landlady, who had been in waiting on the stairs for that purpose since the dawn of day, repaired to Bevis Marks, where the beautiful Sally was already at her post, bearing in her looks a radiance, mild as that which beameth from the virgin moon. Mr. Swiveller acknowledged her presence by a nod, and exchanged his coat for the aquatic jacket, which usually took some time fitting on, for in consequence of a tightness in the sleeves, it was only to be got into by a series of struggles. This difficulty overcome, he took his seat at the desk. "I say," quoth Miss Brass, abruptly breaking silence, "you haven't seen a silver pencil case this morning, have you?" " "I didn't meet many in the street," rejoined Mr. Swiveller. "I saw one, a stout pencil case of respectable appearance, but as he was in company with an elderly penknife, and a young toothpick with whom he was in earnest conversation, I felt a delicacy in speaking to him." "No, but have you?" returned Miss Brass. "Seriously, you know. What a dull dog you must be, to ask me such a question seriously," said Mr. Swiveller. "Haven't I this moment come?" "Well, all I know is," replied Miss Sally, "that it's not to be found, and that it disappeared one day this week, when I left it on the desk." Thought Richard, "I hope the Marchioness hasn't been at work here." "There was a knife too," said Miss Sally, "of the same pattern. They were given to me by my father, years ago, and are both gone. You haven't missed anything yourself, have you?" Mr. Swiveller involuntarily clapped his hands to the jacket to be quite sure that it was a jacket, and not a skirted coat, and having satisfied himself of the safety of this, his only movable in Bevis Marks, made answer in the negative. "It's a very unpleasant thing, Dick," said Miss Brass, pulling out the tin box and refreshing herself with a pinch of snuff, but between you and me, between friends, you know. For if Sammy knew it, I should never hear the last of it. Some of the office money, too, that has been left about, has gone in the same way. In particular, I have missed 3 half-crowns at 3 different times. Apostrophe, you don't mean that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Dick. Be careful what you say, old boy, for this is a serious matter. Are you quite sure? Is there no mistake? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is so, and there can't be any mistake at all, apostrophe, rejoined Miss Brass emphatically. Then by Jove, apostrophe, thought Richard, laying down his pen, I am afraid the Marchioness is done for. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the more he discussed the subject in his thoughts, the more probable it appeared to Dick that the miserable little servant was the culprit. When he considered on what a spare allowance of food she lived, how neglected and untaught she was, and how her natural cunning had been sharpened by necessity and privation, he scarcely doubted it. And yet he pitied her so much, and felt so unwilling to have a matter of such gravity disturbing the oddity of their acquaintance, that he thought, and thought truly, that rather than receive £50 down, he would have the Marchioness proved innocent. While he was plunged in very profound and serious meditation upon this theme, Miss Sally sat shaking her head with an air of great mystery and doubt, when the voice of her brother Sampson, caroling a cheerful strain, was heard in the passage, and that gentleman himself, beaming with virtuous smiles, appeared. Mr. Richard, sir, good morning. Here we are again, sir, entering upon another day, with our bodies strengthened by slumber and breakfast, and our spirits fresh and flowing. Here we are, Mr. Richard, rising with the sun to run our little course, our course of duty, sir, and, like him, to get through our day's work with credit to ourselves, and advantage to our fellow creatures. A charming reflection, sir, very charming. Apostrophe, apostrophe, while he addressed his clerk in these words, Mr. Brass was, somewhat ostentatiously, engaged in minutely examining and holding up against the light a £5 banknote, which he had brought in his hand. Mr. Richard, not receiving his remarks with anything like enthusiasm, his employer turned his eyes to his face, and observed that it wore a troubled expression. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.